Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, and it's good to be here together to think about the precious thing that our lives are so focused on and so central. And lately, I suppose I've been thinking a little bit about the events at the foot of the cross, and particularly the people that were involved at that time, people of faith. And we can think about Joseph of Arimathea. We can think about the centurion and some of the soldiers that were with him and the faith that they had, the declaration they gave to God. And this morning, though, I'd like just to consider briefly the account of the women that we find at the foot of the cross. I want for us to consider the bravery and the care of these women who had stayed with Jesus and kept vigil. They're the ones that had followed the procession to the cross to Golgotha, and then they'd stayed there throughout the 6-hour period of Jesus on the cross, and then gone on into the garden and to the tomb as they witnessed the death and the burial of their Lord. And I'd like for us just to consider firstly from Matthew's account in chapter 27 some of the detail to encourage us in our walk and in the faith that we're called to have in our Lord. So Matthew 27, verse 55 and 56. "And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children." So these women specifically named at the cross, three of them here in verse 56. And if we were to tie in John's Gospel, we'd find that there's another Mary as well. So there's Mary, 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 and Salome, the mother of Jesus, or the Jesus' auntie. But not one of the 12. Well, notice, not one of the 12 is mentioned, well, apart from the disciple that Jesus loved, which we could take as John or perhaps not, but he's the only disciple that we know that is there at the cross. The rest of the women. As I've mentioned, these women were with Jesus throughout his ministry. Nothing was to shake them from their discipleship. Well, I often, and perhaps we often think about the travelling group that went with Jesus in his ministry throughout the land, just as the 12 men and Jesus. But likely, very likely, there were a good number of women also, perhaps 10, perhaps 20 women as part of that travelling group. And just like the 12 disciples, the male disciples, they also had forsaken all and followed Jesus. But they're never recorded as saying, "Well, we've left all, Lord. What will we have?" That's what Peter said, wasn't it? And Peter was really echoing what the disciples were thinking. The women are never recorded as saying that. These women are disciples in the background of the gospel story. And from time to time, they come right to the front. And we see their faith and their diligence shown. Well, verse 55 describes many women looking on from a distance, and also that they had been ministers to Jesus for 3.5 years, since Galilee. They had been witness to everything that the four gospel writers describe for Jesus' entire ministry. And later, these women are to become witnesses to the resurrection. In that sense, they had all the qualifications needed to be an apostle, didn't they? However, their calling is to be ministers to Jesus. And I don't think ministers in the sense of, well, they're cook and bottle washers. But they're ministers in thinking and believing disciples. They had a responsibility, just like their male counterparts, to remember the words of Jesus and act on them. And we'll consider this point later on, that these women were called to remember and act on the things that they'd heard from their Lord Jesus. Well, to minister to the Lord, just what does that entail, do we think? Well, perhaps it's helpful to consider that the word for minister here is the word deacon or servant, and it's the word that is used quite a lot by the Apostle Paul later to describe the work of the helpers for the early ecclesia. So these women were deacons. So during the ministry, the travelling of Jesus throughout the land, these women served Jesus, and also likely the 12 apostles as well. There's a mixture of faith and works in here. Well, why do we think that these women stood at a distance, as verse 55 describes? Many women were there beholding afar off. Surely it can't be that they were scared. Surely it can't be that they were ashamed of what was taking place to come closer. Well, if we can come, please, to Luke's account, he suggests an answer, perhaps, in Luke chapter 23. And just coming back a little bit to verse 35 to 37. After the crucifixion, the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, "If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself." Here at the foot of the cross, at this stage at least, there is an unruly mob surrounding Jesus. Of course, they're taunting him and belittling him. And I suggest that the women just don't want to be a part of that crowd of men and women, of the rulers and chief priests. And I'd like for us just to listen to the psalm prophecy about this, and just have in your mind the sort of people that were there at that time. This is Psalm 22. "Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." And so the psalmist is describing the people at the cross as wild animals, as strong bulls, as devouring and roaring lions, like wild dogs circling around for the kill. So, would you want to be part of that crowd? And these women stood at a distance. Well, back in verse 48, we find that the crowd tired of all that they were seeing. There was no miraculous sign, but instead the inevitable death of Jesus. And they begin to leave and go home. And so perhaps it is during this time or prior to this, the women now move closer. These people move away from the cross. Verse 48, "All the people that came together to that site, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned." Well, moving on just a little bit, I want for us now to consider the way Luke presents to us the way that Joseph of Arimathea, prepares Jesus' body for burial. And I want for us to think about the comparison that Luke describes between how the women see it and how Joseph acts as far as the burial of Jesus. So I want for us to see the women's perspective here. So Luke 23 and verse 52. "Joseph went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid." Do you see the word that Luke uses to describe Jesus and Joseph's actions there? Just a little word, it's the word it. And I think Luke is highlighting Joseph's view of Jesus. It's just a corpse. You'll notice that he took it down and he wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre. Joseph is dealing with a corpse. But now compare this with the woman's viewpoint in verse 55. The women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. So you notice how they see this is not just a corpse, but it's the body of their Lord. Joseph does a fine job, let's be sure of that. I'm not retracting at all from the service that he does, or he and Nicodemus do. And yet the women see that there is more that could be done, I think. Verse 54, of course, describes the time constraints that Joseph is working to. The urgency to get the job done before the evening. And perhaps this was part of Joseph's actions here. Verse 54, and that day, the day that Jesus was crucified, was the preparation for Sabbath, of course, and the Sabbath drew on, and there's time constraints there. Perhaps, as Brother Winton noted a few weeks ago in exhortation, maybe Joseph hadn't used the spice cassia as is prophesied in Psalm 45. And was this what the women were later to bring to the tomb early on that Sunday morning? Something to think about anyway. Well, let's conclude then with the words of the angels to the women in Luke chapter 24, please. So beginning at verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came, this is the women, they came unto the sepulchre bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments, and as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee. So I want for us to think about verse 6. The angels say to the women, remember how Jesus said to you. And you can follow through your cross references, and you'll find the gospel writers are really only showing that Jesus is speaking to the 12 men, to the 12 disciples. We aren't told that he spoke specifically to the women, but clearly they are expected to also understand and believe in the coming events. The 12 disciples we find are saddened and upset, confused by Jesus' arrest and crucifixion. That was their focus. But here in verse 6, the women are called to remember not the events of arrest and crucifixion, but to remember the promise of resurrection. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. In verse 7, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. So we are called to think about faithful service in light of these women at the cross, and now these women at the tomb. They are disciples in the background. They're not the leaders, they're not the renowned, but nevertheless, they're true disciples. They're in faith when others couldn't be there in the vigil for Jesus. But we know, brothers and sisters, that faith is never overlooked by God. And here, in the closing chapters of the Gospels, it is the women who feature strongly. We can take courage ourselves as we look to serve our Lord in just the little things of life, the little acts of faith that we can show. God sees and God knows. So then as we come to break bread then and focus on Jesus as the risen Lord, remember the grave couldn't hold him. And of course he promises each of us the same. The grave will not hold us. Jesus said in John 14 verse 19, because I live, you shall live also.